Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, it's found on page 568 of the Pew Bible. The whole of this psalm will be our theme for the communion season. And so to understand it we'll read it all. And we'll read the whole psalm together. Psalm 51, beginning at verse 1. Let us hear the word of God together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that your words, you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Well, please turn with me again to Psalm 51. And this evening in our service, we'll be considering the opening two verses of the psalm. We'll read them again together, just to remind ourselves of them. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. As we read these words in Psalm 51, we must remember the context in which they come. The title given to the psalm gives us some information about when they were written. It says, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. These words refer to the words of Psalm 51 refer to David's reflection upon what had gone on between him and Bathsheba, and how he felt when Nathan the prophet had rebuked him through the command of God because of the sin he had committed. In 2 Samuel 11 and 12, we read of the wicked things that David did. He took Bathsheba to his bed. even though she was married to another man. When it became evident that she was pregnant, David tried to cover up his sin by calling her husband Uriah back from fighting in the army. When Uriah wouldn't go to bed with his wife, David had him killed. And a number of months pass, and Nathan the prophet, we're told, comes to David. And by telling David a story about a rich man abusing a poor man, Nathan confronts David about his sin. David, when confronted, repents. But there are consequences for David's sin. The son that he and Bathsheba conceived, we're told, will die not long after birth. And so these words in Psalm 51 reflect the thoughts of David at the time following his rebuke from Nathan. And so they are good words for us to consider as we come to focus our minds on coming to the Lord's table this coming Lord's Day. There are three things we want to notice about what David says here, but we want to keep as our main thought the total reliance that David had on God's mercy. David knows that it is only on God's mercy that he can approach God himself. And it is only because of God's mercy that he is able to be alive. When David confessed his sin to Nathan the prophet in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13, Nathan replied, "The Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die." David was shown God's mercy. And so David had confessed his sin and God showed to him mercy. And it is on the basis of this mercy, on the basis of God's steadfast love, that David makes three pleas to God. He cries out for forgiveness in three ways. He cries to God, "Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." And we see three things from these three petitions of David. We see, firstly, how David viewed his sin. How David viewed his sin. Even though the three phrases used by David seem to say the same thing, each express a different way in which David thought about his sin. Notice how he speaks of his evil as transgressions, a plural word, but also as sin, a singular. David sees his sin as a multitude of incidents in his life, but he also sees them as all gathered under one heading. When thinking about his transgressions, he is probably thinking about what he did to Uriah, what he did with Bathsheba, and then everything else that followed after those sins. One by one, the transgressions he has committed pass in his mind. He thinks about each of them in turn and knows that they are wrong, that what he has done is wrong. But David doesn't stop there. Yes, there are a number of transgressions, but he knows that they have a deep common root. And so he doesn't stop with asking God to blot out his transgressions, but he asks God to wash him thoroughly from his iniquity. He doesn't generalize his wrongdoings, but he sees and feels what you and I have to feel, that our wrongdoing has a common source. And so before God, we must lament not only our sins, but our sin. We must confess not only the outward acts of transgression, not only the results that we see in our lives from wrongdoing, but we're to confess from where these acts come. We must confess the root of the problem in our hearts. We must confess that sin is there, that sin is causing all of these wrongdoings and evils to come out of our lives. But notice also how David refers to his transgressions, iniquity, and sin. He sees them as his own. He sees his own individual responsibility for his sin. He says that they are my transgressions. He says that it is my iniquity. He says it is my sin. David doesn't look at the world around him and blame his circumstances. He doesn't do what Adam does in the Garden of Eden, who blamed Eve and then eventually blamed God for being tempted to sin. But David says, no, it is me. It is my sin. He looks at his life, at the failure he has made of it at this point, and he confesses to God that it is all on himself. Nothing caused David to sin other than his own sinful nature. And so we are to be like David. We are to ensure that we recognize that it is only our own fault when we sin. It's no one else's. It's not your own, it's not your child's fault when you get angry with them for no particular reason. Perhaps something happened earlier in the day and you're just wound up so tight and you just, the anger just bursts out from you and your child has done nothing. You need to realize that it's not their fault, it's your sin. It's not someone else's fault for you watching that television program or looking at that image on the computer screen or listening to that gossip or telling that piece of gossip. It is your own fault. And you must take responsibility for your sin and confess them to the Lord. Confess your sin to the Lord. Notice also how David uses different words to describe the different aspects of his sin. Transgression, it's not the same as iniquity. Iniquity is not the same as sin. Each of these words has a separate thought attached to them. Transgression, it simply means to rebel. Rebellion against God. Think of what it means to be in rebellion. It's not that we go against some abstract decency or break some impersonal law of nature when we do wrong. But we rebel against a rightful, sovereign God. That's the problem our world has today. It's setting up its own morals. It's saying that what is right and what is wrong. The morals that our world has, they're defective. And because of the pull of the world, the morals even within the Christian church have been changed. But we need to realize that we are rebelling against God. When we transgress, we are saying, God, we don't need you. I can live my life my own way. We need to confess that we can't live without him. We need to come back from our state of rebellion and back to what is right and true and what a right and true understanding of God's law is. You then see David using the word iniquity. This means something that is twisted or bent. It is the same thought that lies behind our word wrong. And the word wrong comes from the word wrung. Something that is not in the line of what is right. Something that has been bent out of shape. It's wrong. And our iniquity shows itself in going in a different direction from the line of God's law. In reality, our lives should follow as a parallel the law of God. But instead, they wander all over the place. David saw that he wasn't following God's true path, that he wasn't living in the way that God wanted him, but he was going to the left and to the right. He was way off course. Perhaps there have been times when you've had to follow a sat-nav and it's just sent you completely in the wrong direction. And you end up blaming it or someone else in the car maybe if they're with you. But David knew he had gone the wrong way. David knew that he had followed the wrong path, that he'd followed his own thoughts, his own desires. And so he confessed to God and he cried out for God's help and for God's forgiveness. Then we see David using the word sin. And sin means to miss an aim or to miss a mark. As if he's shooting an arrow and he's just completely off hitting where the arrow's supposed to go, the center of the bullseye. Every sin, friends, is a crime. Every sin misses the mark that God has set for us. Remember that we are made for God, and so to do anything that isn't for Him diverts us from our true destiny. But also trying to make ourselves right before God is a failure as well. Sin misses the aim if we think of our destination. Sin misses its own aim of happiness. You'll be told that, or you'll think, you'll have the thought in your mind, oh, it's only a small thing and doing it will make me happy, this sin. But a man never gets what he hoped for by doing wrong. Or if he does prosper, he gets something more that spoils it. We must remember that for God, sin is always rebellion. The deflection of the life from the straight line which God's law draws so clearly and firmly. And hence, sin is missing the aim. Do you have a right understanding of your sin? Do you view it as David viewed his? He didn't generalize his sin, but he confessed it individually. He knew that there were different ways he had sinned against God. And so we are to not just say, God, forgive me because I've sinned, but pray individual prayers for each of the sin you have committed, for each of the transgressions, for each of the times you've rebelled against God, for each of the times you have walked in a different way from God's word, for each time you have missed the mark that God has set. Pray that God for forgiveness. So we have seen how David saw his sin. Let us see, secondly, how David thinks of forgiveness. David used three words to express the burden of guilt that he felt under. And so in asking for forgiveness, he does so in three different ways. We see David asking God to blot out his transgressions. David pictures God in heaven having noted down on a scroll the evil things that he has done. And so he now calls on him to blot out those sins. He asks God to cover over the record of wrongs that he has done. There is special significance in the use of this word by David because it was used in the description of a Levitical ceremony where a curse was written on a scroll and then blotted out by the priest. It was wiped out. And in the same way, David calls on God to blot out his sin, to blot out his transgression, the curse that he has brought on himself because of his wrongdoing. And so this reflects our lives as well, doesn't it? Because our sins stand written against us. There's a long list of wrongdoing that has been penned by our own hands. Our past is a blurred manuscript full of false things and bad things. Like David, we must spread this writing before God and ask him to remove the stained words from its surface. We have to ask him to blot out those evil things we have done from our life. Because there's nothing, friends, that we can do to erase these sad records from our past. We can't be like the student in the classroom who gets out the Tippex whenever they make a mistake and just cover over the poorly spelled word or the mark that's on the page and then continue on with their work. No, the mistakes on the pages of our lives cannot be removed by ourselves. So we must cry out, as David did, blot out my transgressions. Then David uses the phrase, wash me thoroughly. He asks God to wash him as if he was being put through the mangle, put through a cycle of washing to get clean. David, this word for wash me, he uses a word that expresses the antique way of cleaning clothes by treading and by beating. Today, we sometimes think of clothes being washed as an easy thing. Get the laundry basket up to the washing machine, clothes in, liquid in or powder, some fabric softener, hit a few buttons, and away you go. That's it. But for David, in his mind, he knew that the task of washing garments was a long and a strenuous process. It was something that took time and effort. Even 100 years ago, the washing of clothes was a difficult process. The removal of stains on white garments in David's day would have taken a lot of hard work, something that would have used a lot of elbow grease. And so by David calling on God to wash him thoroughly, David knows that he is asking for a process of purifying that will be long and hard, that will be strenuous on him. David is saying, I am ready to submit to any sort of discipline, if only I may be clean. Wash me, beat me, tread me down, hammer me with mallets, dash me against stones, rub me with coarse soap. Do anything, if only these stains come away from me. Do you pray like this when you sin? When you confess your sin, do you pray that God would do anything to remove the sin from your life? David is calling for a testing to come into his life. And he knows this testing may be a sharp application of God's Spirit in a way he's not expecting. But know that if you pray like this, if we all pray like this, then we will be clothed like our Lord Jesus in garments which shine as bright as the brightest light. The deliverance from sin that David calls for is further expressed by his third prayer. He calls on God to cleanse him from his sin. And this is a technical word, this word cleanse. It's a technical word for the priestly act of declaring someone clean. And David thinks of his guilt not only as a blotted past record that he has written, not only as a garment covered with stains of wrongdoing, but he thinks of himself as even being cast out from the presence of God because of the sin in his life. In the Old Testament, the priests could declare someone or something unclean. If you had leprosy, you would be unclean. If you had touched a dead body, you would be unclean. And there would be certain washings you would have to do before being declared clean. And so David sees his sin as a disease that's keeping him from God. David knows that he is unable to clean himself, but by the great high priest and by that finger being placed upon him, David knows he is able to be clean. This is to send our minds forward into the New Testament, this word cleanse. Because there, Jesus, in Matthew 8, healed a leper. And the man asked Jesus, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." We read that Jesus stretched out his hand and replied, "I will. Be clean." Jesus healed that man from his leprosy, but he knew the man's heart. He knew that his faith had cleaned him also. Let it be your prayer that through Christ you will be clean, that you will be cleansed, that through Christ your transgressions will be blotted out, and that you will be washed from your iniquity. Let us see, thirdly and finally, from these short verses, where David finds his confidence. Where does David find his confidence to pray in such a way? Well, he looks to God. He looks to God's character. That is why he can ask for cleansing. According to your steadfast love, according to your mercy. David's hope, it rests on God's steadfast love and on his abundant mercy. Yes, David knows the number and the greatness of his sin. And the fact that he is conscious of his sin helps him to recognize the corresponding greatness of God's mercy. We sang from Psalm 40 earlier, "For countless evils hem me in, my sins take hold of me, they press on me from every side, so much I cannot see. They're more than hairs upon my head, my heart fails utterly. Be pleased to rescue me, O God." Be pleased to rescue me. David knew that he had to cry to God for help. But David knew that he could rely on God's mercy, that he could rely on God's all-sufficient grace to save him and to bring him back to God. He knew that God would have mercy on him because of his faithfulness in the past. And so, friends, we are not to wallow in our sin. We're not to let our sin get a hold over us. We're not to let it build up and build up. But when we recognize our sin, when we see the failures that our lives have become, we're to know that God is there. We're to know that God, in his faithfulness, has always been merciful to those who turn to him for forgiveness. David knew this. He had experienced God's grace in his life before, and he cries out to God on the basis of this again. David had relied from his youth on God being with him. He knew of God's hand upon him as he looked after his sheep, as he served in Saul's palace, and as he fled even on those occasions from the hand of Saul. He knew of God's steadfast love, or another way to say that is God's covenant love, being over him and caring for him. And so he turns again to the love of God and the mercy of God that he had known so often in his life. And he could turn confidently, knowing that if he confessed his sin, the Lord would forgive him. And as David spoke these words, he was a man who was looking forward to the coming of God's deliverer. He was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. He knew that there would be one coming who would be the chosen one of God. And friends, we know that that chosen one of God, the Messiah, has come. And so we can look back, as we look back, we can have greater confidence than David. We can have greater confidence that we will be forgiven because of God's abundant mercy and loving kindness shown in Christ Jesus coming into the world. Does Christ coming into the world and dying on the cross, pouring out his blood, does it lead us, does it lead you to the same trusting repentance as David had? Remember that when we place these words alongside the words of Nathan to David in 2 Samuel 12, they come after Nathan's declaration of forgiveness from God. And so these words of David, they are an echo and a response to that declaration. So as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, let us remember God's abundant mercy. Let us remember his steadfast love that brought Jesus to this earth to die for us. As we eat of the bread and as we drink of the cup, let us not forget that the breaking of Christ's body and the shedding of his blood, they blot out our transgressions. That it is by Christ's death on the cross that we receive a garment that is pure and holy. And we put it on, and we are as pure, as white as snow before our God in heaven. Let us remember that through Christ we are cleansed from our sin. We are made clean from our sin that God cannot look at. That's those sins which God cannot look at. And we are cleansed from them, and we can draw near to God, and we are acceptable in his sight. But as we come, let us come with thanksgiving. Let us come praising and thanking our Lord and our God for his steadfast love and for his abundant mercy with which we are blessed each and every day. When we find ourselves in our sin, let us cry out to God and know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Amen.